This episode of the Westside Discussion is sponsored by Mando Disco Air and Birdie Fuel Coffee. Use code WSD10 to save 10%. Welcome back to the Westside Discussion podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Westside discs. This is episode 9. My name is Jay. Thanks for listening. This week, I'm joined by Stephen Waits. Stephen has finished up his second year with Team Westside. He's been a tournament director for 3 years, and he runs Sky Heiser Productions. Stephen, welcome.
What's up, guys? Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming on. How you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start from the beginning. When did you start playing disc golf?
When I was in high school, probably 2004 or 5, I played not really knowing what I was doing. It was just a sport that my friends did. And then my current employer, they built a course in 2016. And that's kind of when I say I officially started, because then I got hooked, and then I've been addicted ever since. So like, I dabbled in it about 12 years ago, and then I really got into it about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
And what's the disc golf scene where you're at?
It's like anywhere else. It's rural America that it's growing exponentially right now. When I started in 2016, there was probably 4 public courses that I knew of pretty quick. And then I work for a manufacturing plant. They built an 18-hole course on their property.
Oh, nice.
And then since then, we've had 3 or 4 more courses go in. I know when I started, I think I was probably, at the time, the only current PDGA member for my county. And now there's hundreds. Like, there's too many to count because of the growth that we've had.
And you live in Southern Indiana, correct?
Yes, I live just north of Evansville.
All right. So there's a pretty big community there of disc golf players?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Big enough that we're able to host several events a year, several B-tier events a year, and like, hold our own as far as attendance on them. You know, we get people that travel in from out of state because we have some pretty historical courses for some historical events that people are familiar with. But with the growth we've had, you know, it's a large enough group that we got a lot of locals that we just see every time.
And you just had an event this last weekend. I saw that was hosted by the Sunday Crew. What's the Sunday Crew?
Well, the Sunday Crew is more of our title sponsor. It's actually hosted by the AC Eagle Disc Golf Club. It's their 17th year running at the Pumpkin Shootout. And the Sunday Crew is just a group of players that get together every Sunday morning at a local course, or sometimes they'll travel and they sponsor events. And I'd probably say nearly all of them are club members of AC Eagles. But as a organization, they like to sponsor events, and they always look forward to sponsoring the Pumpkin Shootout. And so that's why it was the Sunday Crew presents the 17th annual Pumpkin Shootout by Siski Law Firm. So it's kind of like co-title sponsored.
I saw some interesting pictures about the Pumpkin Shootout with you and Chris Baker as well in that area. Tell me a little bit more about that event, like how that runs.
Well, it's the 17th year of the event. It's my second year TD in it. It's a full weekend ordeal. Chris has been down here a few times, and we actually had Cal Giovanni, who's on Team DD. He came down from Northern Indiana and played. Like, on Friday night, everybody come into town. We do a pumpkin carving where we carve about 300 pumpkins, and we do that over at a club member's house, and we have music and probably some chili or some drinks or something to eat, and families and kids running around, and it's just a big like community gathering for the Friday of Pumpkin Shootout. And we carve all the pumpkins and then get them loaded up, and Saturday morning we go out and we stick them on the courses, and every basket has a pumpkin on it, and every hole is lined with pumpkins. And then Saturday we do bring your own partner doubles, and players will compete on one of the courses for that. And then Saturday night we light all the pumpkins and we do a bring your own partner glow round, and we have chili for that, and everybody gets like a sweet glow wizard, and it's just a blast. And that's just the first 2 days, and then Sunday is the main event where we have 36 holes of disc golf.
So that's been going on for 17 years. How many years have you been doing that?
I've played in 3 or 4 of them. I've ran 2 of them. And then next year for the 18th annual, it'll be our first A-tier for the area. And then, of course, it'll be the first A-tier for this event. But we got A-tier status next year.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. What was that process like going from B-tier to A-tier? How did you accomplish that?
Well, for us, right, really for me, it's just, you know, put it in the paperwork, because as an event, I'd say for for nearly as long as it's been around. It's been ran as an A-tier caliber event with a great payout, a great player pack. So the event's not going to change much. We will have the 2 days that are required for competition, but we're still going to try to keep the carving and the glow round and possibly the bring your own partner doubles during the day. And we'll just have to figure out when we're going to do them and how we're going to do them. But the event overall shouldn't change. So going from an A to B, a lot of people, they won't really notice a difference besides you're competing on 2 days instead of one.
Got it. Okay.
I wanted to mention, because I forgot, but like one of the traditions of the Pumpkin Shootout is there's a hole seven. It's probably little around 250 feet at Mesker Park. And it's, we put a pumpkin on top of the basket. Every hole gets pumpkin. But on this hole, if you hit the pumpkin on the basket, we got a $1,000 payout. It's 234 feet. So they've been doing that since year one. And every year they added to it until it hit $1,000. And then we kind of capped it at that. And for 16 years or for 15 years, it was never hit. And then last year it got hit for the first time. And then this year it got hit again. So back-to-back pumpkin back-to-back hits.
That's an interesting take on like an ace pot. That's a good idea. Is that something you'd be able to keep as an A tier event?
I don't see why not. Yeah, I mean, like, it's something we talked about. We'll still do that. We got a lot of bounties. We did this year. We did the 10K, 5K Grow Disc Golf Ace Challenge from DD. So, you know, we had two bounties on two different holes that were $500 each. So there was a lot of money to be made just for hitting aces and hitting pumpkins.
Now, you earlier mentioned Ace Eagle Disc Golf Club. Is that the club you're a part of?
Yeah. So I got into them in 2016 or 17, I think, because I started playing in the summer. So I could have joined it once I found out about the club later that fall. And then I played in one of the Chasing the Chain tours back in 2017 was like my first tournament to play in. And I believe Matt Lloyd was the one that came to town for that. So I've been like around Didi and that family for a while when it comes to tournaments, and it was just a blast, and there wasn't a lot on the tournament schedule locally at that time. So I was like, I'm gonna run an event, because I figured if I run an event, then I can play in an event.
Right. Oh yeah.
And so I got with the club, and the club's like, yeah, sure. So we started running events, and then the more time I spent with the club, the more I liked what they were doing and wanted to contribute. So then I got on as like public relations coordinator kind of gig, where I would try to reach out to local community newspapers and channels and try to get us on radio and stuff. And then I put in and ran for club president and been doing that for 2 years now, going on my third year.
So what are the responsibilities of a club president?
What I've learned from my approach on it is if somebody wants to do something, making sure that they have the resources to be able to do it successfully, that's beneficial to everybody else in the club, especially since club money would be going towards it. And then just promoting events and promoting the growth in the schools. Like, we have some club members who they want to grow the sport through schools and clinics. And so we help them out. We got a disc bank that people can take to a school, and it's got like probably two or three boxes worth of disc, and they can let people use them. And then we'll just get them back at the end of the day, or we can sell some of the disc banks. We encourage people to contribute to it. And then tournaments, just making sure that our tournaments and the people that run club tournaments, like, they know what they're doing. And we try to keep a steady, consistent feel to our events. And I think that's one thing that's helped us with getting the A-tier status. And then our region hosting AM Worlds next year is just, we got good courses. Our people take care of them. The club supports that. And then we also have well-run events.
Are there a lot of clubs in your area?
Not every county, but within an hour's drive in any direction, you'll find one or two more. And we all do a really good job at working together. We're fortunate enough that, you know, some big cities might have an issue where they have multiple cliques inside of the club that can butt heads. And around here, like, our club does really good at working with other people in town and then working with other clubs to support, and we'll sponsor one of their events and they'll sponsor one of our events, and we're sharing events and information and how to be successful. So there's a few clubs, but not a lot. And a few that we got really good relationships with.
What kind of advice could you give someone if they're looking to start a club in their area? Maybe they don't have anything like that.
I would say I wouldn't look at it as like trying to start a club, but just try to find like-minded disc golfers that you want to be around and you want to work with. You know, somebody that's that you'd be okay with spreading mulch with on a course on a Saturday morning, or somebody who you know would help you install baskets or something, and just build that group up. And then once you have a solid base of people, then you guys can come together instead of one person trying to build what they think would be a club off of their mindset, just to have a group of people contribute to it all at once so you can be successful from the beginning. I never started a club. I just like coming into this one, it was, yeah. I mean, it was already started. It's been successful for many years. And me and the people that have started playing since around me, we've just kind of added our own little style to it.
Ah, perfect. That's great advice. Earlier, you just mentioned Am Worlds. You're hosting Am Worlds. How did that come about?
Yeah, kind of like running tournaments and things that I didn't see going on. It's like I seen Am Worlds and Pro Worlds happening in other places, and I'm like, well, why can't we do that? We had courses, and we had people that told us like, oh, that's ambitious of you, and you know, go ahead and put your bid in, and you'll gain a lot of experience from it. And then our first year putting a bid in, like I had help from our state coordinator, who is our state coordinator now, Jason Labella. He's our co-TD. And with his help and the local convention bureaus and tourism centers, we put together a good bid package that I guess was liked by the PDGA. And so we won that. I could say that I wanted to do it, but it was Jason and the convention centers and the tourism bureau and all those community outlets, mayors, and county officials that, you know, endorsed it and put their support in, that really helped us get it. I just know, like speaking with the club, I know the club will make the courses look phenomenal, and they're extremely proud to be hosting such a prestigious thing. It'll be the first time in exactly 30 years that Am Worlds is in the state of Indiana. So we're looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Like I know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to wanting to participate in something or wanting to do something. So just go ahead and run it. That's how it was for me last year. I ran a trilogy challenge, really just because I wanted that warship and there was none in the area. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just run it then. And that way I'm guaranteed a couple warships.
It's like this year with the stags or the winter or the veterans for vets, like extra discs you can buy. And it's like, come on, let's fill up so we can just order more stags. Even if you don't want them, I'll order them.
Right. No, absolutely. That's the way to go. All right. So speaking of Westside, then let's get into talking about that. Before we do, though, I want to pause for a moment and say thank you to our sponsors, Birdie Fuel Coffee and Mando Discware. Thank you to Birdie Fuel for sponsoring this episode again. Birdie Fuel is a great way to enjoy a delicious cup of coffee while supporting a player. You can buy coffee. You can support Chris Clemens, Kristen Tatar, Eric and Tina Oakley, Eric McCabe, and others. So if you like disc golf and coffee, check out their offerings at birdiefuelcoffee.com. You can pick up a bag based on taste or your favorite player. You can't go wrong on that. And for Mando Discware, you really got to check out their lineup of apparel, shirts, hats, joggers, and hoodies to stay warm on the course. The clothes are comfortable. They allow you to send it with style. You can check them out at mandodiscware.com. And on both websites, use code WSD10 at checkout and you save 10%. That's WSD10. All right, Steven. So we're talking about the warships and the stag. So let's talk about Westside Discs. How did you get connected with Westside?
I'd say Chris Baker. He lives a couple hours north of me in Bloomington, Indiana, and he's seen what was going on down here, as he puts it, and thought that it would be a good fit. And I had already been like, a three company fanboy, Latitude and DD and Westside. And I played some rounds with some other team players in Idlewild when I went out there and tried to compete, but really just donated my money to that group and put in the application on Chris's advice, and they approached me for it. And when they asked me, like, kind of, you know, what team do I think I would be a good fit on, I just instantly, like, without hesitation, said Westside. I just like the logo. I like the way the disc, the finish stamps, the story behind them. Like, I really enjoy that kind of side of it. And I thought it would be cool at this time. This was before Am Worlds. I was like, wouldn't it be so cool if Westside Disc was sponsoring, like, a world championship? And I was like, I want Westside Disc. If they got room on that team, that's where I'd like to be an ambassador for.
Yeah, I was the same way as far as like why I like Westside Discs is, yeah, the stamps, the story behind it seems to be a great, it seems to be a common.
They got a sweet logo. Like, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
The logos, the stamps, the designs.
Yeah, everything about it's cool.
I'm a good artist.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was your first, Westside was your first sponsor?
No, I actually, I was working on a course build. We're still working on the build of the course here near me. And I had world champion Dave Greenwell come out. He co-founded Prodigy. And he came out and looked at the property that I'm working on. And then we went up and played a course that he designed, Pride's Creek in Petersburg, Indiana. And, you know, we played around and we talked a while. And then after that, I got an invite to join Prodigy on their street team the year before I got on Westside. And I did that and I had a lot of fun and learned a lot about it all. And I had honestly like never really thrown much Prodigy. I do know local or regional pro Dutch Napier. He's a big Prodigy guy and he's an awesome person. So I was excited to like learn the molds and the plastics and, you know, see what he had and like pick his brain about it and experience that. And it was a good time. And like, I really met a lot of people and I traveled down to Georgia and played in one of their big events down there. So it was nice to see that side of it and see those pros. And they got some really good team players that I enjoy watching. But there was always this like DD bag in the corner of my garage. Mm-hmm. And there was always like those molds that I had, like my Enforcer, my old Explorer, and these things that just sat in there because I wasn't throwing them. And when Chris got a hold of me and things led that I could possibly get with Westside and be like on their team, I took that opportunity.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I guess there wouldn't be much of a kind of learning curve then going from Prodigy to, you know, back to the Trilogy, since you kind of already had those discs and already knew them.
Yeah. I just spent a year like not throwing them, learned some new ones, which was nice. Cause like, you know, there were some molds in the Prodigy lineup that I did enjoy. Once I found them that were similar to some Westside modes, but there was just, you know, there's that judge that was just beat in just right that I just missed really deeply. And the same thing with an Enforcer that was seasoned perfectly. They were just sitting over there staring at me, waiting on me to come back.
Awesome. Ah, very cool. So tell me about Skyhyzer.
Skyhyzer is my production company that I've started last summer, 2020. Yeah, we filmed FPO at Severn Lang Memorial, which is a tournament I'm trying to get out right now from this past year. I'm behind on. I had hard drive issues, but we're almost there and be getting that out soon. But I enjoyed photography growing up, and I filmed the Final Nine at the Evansville Open, the local event we have here, back in 2019. And kind of sat on like a camera that I had borrowed for it, and over the summer and over COVID break, as I say, got bored and wanted to try something different, and Severn Lang was filled up and I couldn't play in it. So I was like, well, I wonder if they'll let me film it. So I went and filmed it and just kind of took off from there. We've filmed probably more than 20 events now in just over a year of being in operation. And I'm the only like full-time camera operator or editor with Skyhyzer. Everything else, all the other camera work, because we do a two camera system operation, is just friends that I know that have free weekends. So really like a lot of another event that I, or another endeavor of mine that's just taken a lot of work from a lot of people.
Yeah, I was talking to Jared Stoll a few episodes ago. He mentioned the Skins match.
Oh, Jared.
That he was in. And yes. Then later you messaged me like, oh, hey, that's that's me. So how did that Skins match, was that just coincidence that it was with him and Erica as well? Was it just coincidence that they were there, or was the Westside connection what made that happen?
If you got time, we go back further than that.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
When we first kind of shut down, when everybody kind of went on pause and just stayed home, I know like team members were looking at stuff to do and content to make, and I reached out to team captain Chris Villa and Jared and Baker and Erica, and we did a video of like, we played like a par four across the country, and it's on Westside's YouTube channel. And Chris kind of gave us quick briefing on how he approaches a tee shot on a long hole, and then he threw the disc and the disc landed near Baker, and Baker gave us a middle of the fairway kind of throw breakdown, and his disc landed next to Jared. I might have them backwards. Either way, one threw to the other one, and the other one threw an upshot, and then Erica putted in front of the mountains in Montana. So we all like contributed these videos and they send them to me and I edited it together. And we had just a short little tutorial on like a par four or a par five that was played across the country.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll definitely put that in the show notes so people can check that out.
So like that's when I met Erica and Jared and then Sky Breed Disc Golf. Chris Baker and I are both team members for that group, and they brought on Erica. She's a team member for Skybreed Disc. They do all her vending for her special releases and limited releases. They sell her stuff for her out of that, and then they did some sales for Two Hot Geese for them. And they are I don't know what level you would call it, a sponsor of Ledgestone.
Okay.
They get like Ledgestone drops and do that. So it kind of all worked out that the three of us were all on the team. Me, Erica, and Baker, and that team was Westside and Skybreed Disc, and then we're all at Ledgestone together, so I was like, well, let's do a skins match with Skybreed, and Skybreed was looking at getting some pros on a skins match, and of course, like, the bigger the names, the more views you get, and so Erica reached out to players that she knows, and that's how we got Madison, which is her partner in crime for her commentary in Two Hot Geese. And then we got Calvin Heinberg and Eric Oakley and Rebecca Cox and Chandler Fry. And then I think we were going to have Zach Melton do the hosting job. And something came up where he wasn't able to. And I reached out to Jared on my way to Ledgestone. I was like, hey, what are you doing in 3 hours? And he's like, I'll meet you there.
Ah, very cool. So you mentioned talking about Sky Heiser, that you're learning it. And what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned running Sky Heiser Productions?
Don't take too much on your own, really. I mean, I haven't hit too many deadlines that I'd like to hit for getting content out. And that's because I took on a lot of tournaments to film, which is the easy part because I just needed another guy there and we just filmed the tournament while it's being played. But I really needed an editor, and not having a second editor like really shows how much work that these bigger time organizations like Jomez and Gatekeeper and GK Pro, what it takes for them to do like same day, next day turnaround stuff is insane. I couldn't imagine trying to do that with just two people. And I know that's how Gatekeeper started out. And so like really learned a lot on not to bite off too much and to get more help with it.
Yeah. It's good advice for anything really, like get help when you can. So a lot of players I've talked to, you know, going down South Florida and other places, when I mentioned like an off season, like, what's that? You know, we're still going, but I grew up in Indianapolis, so it's nice talking to a fellow Hoosier here, and I know what Indiana is like in the winter. So what is your off season going to look like?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know when the last time we lived out here was, but we're silly and we don't stop playing disc golf. I don't know if you remember like the Whiffs series.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's still going on and LaBella's running that. And there's like 17 Whiffs events and it's a great thing that he does. All those 17 events or 17 plus events or more, he'll tell me I was wrong or not. But, you know, every event raises money for a local food bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they run that all winter long. And so, yeah, like disc golf never stops, never sleeps.
Awesome. Good to hear. So what are your goals then going to be for next year?
Well, my goal last year was to get my rating up and win an NPO event. And I won the NPO event really, really quick in the season. And then I didn't really see much success after that. And I think with the rules that the PDGA has made where you can't play your own B tier, is going to change that. Like I've gotten other people locally who want to run events and I'm like, good, you can run it and I'm going to help you. And like, we'll work on it together. But my goal this coming year is just to play more and to really work on my rating. So I'll still run events and I'll still run, like, of course I'm running the A tier and co-running Worlds and some others. But my goal this year is really just to improve on my game. Cause it really took a beating this past season.
What aspect of your game do you think needs the most improvement?
Consistency is key, you know, like consistency and just smart decisions. I've always told people I pride myself on the mental side of my game. Like I can hit a tree off the first tee on every tee and I'll just eventually laugh at it. But it's it's the other side of the mental aspect of like, don't run a 60 footer if your putting's not good. Like, remember, like, hey, you're not putting good today.
Right.
Just lay up. Like, yeah, you'd love to make it, but now you're going to have a two putt and you're going to get a bogey and then it doesn't matter anymore. And I wish I would have done that last weekend.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Something I've like personally, I've had to figure out the difference, like just playing the casual round versus playing like a monthly versus the tournament, like how you decide what kind of shots to make. And yeah, if you're out there at 60, it's probably best just to lay up and just get that par.
Yeah. I think like, I mean, anybody that runs a lot of events would might agree with me on is I don't get to play a lot of casual rounds and I want to try to do that more, try to learn my disc a little bit more or at least remember what they do. There's times when I might play every week or every weekend, but it's either playing in a tournament or filming a tournament. And there's never like just go out and just practice and have fun. And that's something that I want to do because it's important to your game, you know, like just as important as field work is just to have a round where nothing matters and you can try stuff and then just remember what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So where can people find you? Where can people find Sky Hyzer Productions?
We're on YouTube, Sky Hyzer Productions, Instagram, Facebook. We do have a Patreon that is collecting dust. And then myself, like I'm on Instagram as swaits93138 for my content on Instagram. And then I guess that's about it.
All right. Well, and I'll put all those in the show notes as well so people can find you. Thank you so much, Stephen, for coming on. Is there any last thing you want to add, say, or plug before we go?
Don't stop playing. Like even in the winter months, like I don't know, like that's the thing that aggravates me is I keep wanting to play and people are like, it's too cold. Even here in Indiana, like just keep playing and go do those fundraisers. And oh, I guess register early. Don't wait too long to register for events. I always got to give a shout out like for a TV standpoint.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on. Thank you so much for listening. This is the West Side Discussion Podcast. I want to thank Stephen again for coming on. And thank you to our sponsors, Mando Discware and Birdie Fuel Coffee. The theme song is What Would You Be Like by Akira the Don. We'll continue the discussion next time.